Hey, hey everybody. We're here to do our next session in Buddhas and Butterflies. We're in houses 3 and 4. This will be our first session, so we're going to work on transforming fear. I had a unique little hiccup on oh, I'm just noticing a little knot there. I can probably deal with that. There we go. I had a unique little hiccup where I sometimes mix up the email time from the website time. The website time said 4 p.m. The website time is always the correct time. My email time was on autopilot because I'm so used to the sessions being at 9 and 1 local time for me that I just went on to autopilot and was like, okay, hey, it's not the 9 a.m. session, it must be the 1 p.m. session, because it's been that way prior to this year for the previous 2, 3 years, something like that now. And as a result of that, I ended up advertising both times. So I'm doing two sessions today. So I did one earlier. It's recorded, it'll be up on the website. I think it already is there. And then I'll be, of course, recording this one, and this will be there too. So you're gonna get two sessions today in the same territory. Okay. So double the whammy. And as we kicked off last session, we're gonna do the same thing this session. I'm gonna give you just a little bit of a rundown on houses 3 and 4 and give you just a bit of intel, get a bit of information. I never say the same thing really quite twice in the exact same way. So know that if you go and listen to the other recording, you might hear me say a lot of overlapping things. There might be something that stands out just because of the way that it was said in a unique way, or I might end up saying something a little bit different too. There's lots of ways that we can look at the astrological houses. There are so many different websites that go into these things, and lots of them disagree with each other, and there's some overlap or some clashing in some places. Know that I'm going to keep it really simple. I'm going to use a body talk focus lens for it all. Yeah. So in terms of the houses 3 and 4, I'm just going to get my info in front of me there. Okay, so houses 3 and 4 are both governed by the earth element. So that's what sort of is unique about what unifies these two particular houses. The first two houses were very metal element and they worked with grief. We might think of anything that has a beginning, has something that it's ended prior to that. So there's been something that's been grieved. Now that something is underway, it's time to grow it. So their earth element is very much about, I always think of like the garden and like growing the garden. And earth element can link us into, in particular this time of year, moving us into late summer. And late summer has its own particular rhythm, its own particular vibe, which overlaps, I think, a lot with this particular element. And it works with the stillness, the peacefulness, the quality of being able to begin to harvest one's growth. This is the time where if you planted a garden, anyways, in my neck of the woods, you're probably harvesting the, or starting to harvest some things that's going to continue over the next couple of months. And farmers will likely start to harvest within a couple of months if they're on the track that I remember them to be. So let's talk about what's unique to the houses. So things are growing. So house number three, it's growth, I want to say, at like a conscious mind level. And house number three is all about the conscious mind. It's like literally helping you to digest your world, to feed you ideas, to give you information, to support you in assimilating and building and growing into potentially new possibilities, as long as we're using our mind well and we're not getting stuck and anchored into the habitual ways of thinking that are conditioned and often learned and passed down from generation to generation. The house number three is an intellect. It's ruled by Gemini, and the sign of Gemini is intellectual. It's about communication, and it can carry a little bit of a nervous energy to it. It's not always as settled, and it's very much about using that unsettled in order to create new forward momentum. So if I think about stepping into something new and I'm growing into it, but I don't really quite know what I'm doing yet, there's a little bit of nerves happening around me. So it's that kind of a quality to it. The third house itself is very much about expression And it's of your left brain thoughts, your ideas at a mental level. It's an expression of your mental activity in a way that's meant to be regulated. So not too much, not too little, not dominating, not undermining, not peppering you with intellectual ideas constantly, and also not sharing anything from the level of the intellect. Some of us don't necessarily feel confident, and some of us feel too, might we say, confident in expression of our mental thoughts and ideas. I might be looking at myself with that one. Mercury is the planetary energy that hangs out here, and it fuels our curiosity at that intellectual level. It also stokes the left brain to explain things, to make connections, and sometimes there can be misinterpretations along the way. We can also use our intellect to create divide. I don't think we have to look very far in our world to see examples of that. Different thoughts create this sense of division between us and other people. Let me go on to house number four. House number four is ruled by a water sign. It's ruled by Cancer, or connected to Cancer might be a better way to say that. And water signs are hand in hand with the emotion territory. So house number four is about your environment and how you stayed safe within a smaller scale environment. The sign here is Cancer. Cancer is a crab. It's like, how do I stay safe within the environment of myself, the environment of my home, and the environment of how it is I've learned to perceive and be safe. In that way, sets the tone for how it is you're going to feel safe when you interact with the outside world, which we're going to get into in houses 5 through 8. So Cancer itself is very emotional, it's protective, and it's very domestic. So this is fourth house energy, environment, home, working with protection in the way that we know to be emotional in tonality. So there's the configuration of, I remember when this happened to me and that's never going to happen again. I'm going to stay safe in these ways by doing this. That all gets stored through the spleen meridian, which is connected to our subconscious mind. It governs all of our collective habits and works with our active memories with, again, an emotional charge or tonality to them. Also, FYI, governs our lymphatic system. So all your subconscious mind stuff is hanging out in your lymph system and circulating through us. And we're the lymph doctors in Western medicine, and we don't have a lot of emphasis on lymphatic system health or lymphatic medicine doctors or anything really to overly support people in learning about their lymphatic systems and how to keep it healthy. Body Talk has a great lymphatic drainage approach to it. I have really adored Body Talk's, well, devotion to the lymph system. They talk a lot about it, and it's on the chart four different times in the basic protocol chart. So we go here a lot. Yeah. Okay. I could get onto the lymph topic and be here all day. So I'm gonna digress on that and just share a little bit about the planetary energy that hangs out here. So the natural planetary energy of the fourth house is that of the moon. And the moon is also connected to our subconscious mind, and it's also connected to the maternal love. So how it is we relate at a subconscious level is also informed by your relationship to receiving love that is maternal in nature. Mom, mother figures, maybe you have a relationship to nature, Mother Earth, or anywhere you derive mothering energy. Maybe you've got a relationship that you've cultivated with the moon itself. Maybe you track the moon and you're looking to it for information. The moon itself can also tie in and work with layers of emotional insecurity and how it is we're habitually or instinctually relating to those emotional insecurities that are stored at a subconscious level and how it is we're interpreting information. Okay, y'all. So that is the lowdown. Oh, I'm going to add one more thing. Houses 3 and 4 are connected to the legs, the yang and the yin legs. The stomach, pardon me, house number 3 is the stomach, which is yang. So it goes to the yang leg, which is our left leg. And then The yang leg is the right leg. The right leg is very much about taking steps forward, moving forward, having a direction, Whereas the yin, the fourth house, the spleen, is very much about the left leg. And the left leg is more about, I'm just going to hold my ground. I'm going to hold still. I'm going to be that mountain pose. And not to say that it's not really active in its stillness. If you've held mountain pose for more than a couple of minutes, you realize how much activity it can take to just simply hold that. And the energy of stillness and action work together. So we're meant to have the legs have a little bit of each of these qualities within them. Our left leg propels us forward, the right leg helps us to hold still. It doesn't not do those things. We're just talking about the broad brush strokes, what's associated with them. Okay. The one thing I haven't mentioned is all the first four houses. I think I've alluded to the fact that they're personal, they're about the individual. And they also tend to tie to the most lateral parts of your body. So they work with the side body. Houses one through four, even though they are associated with the lung, the colon, the stomach, the spleen, also tie into the edges of your body. They give you a sense of containment, a sense of this is who you are as a person, and they help to bring you into your essence of your form might be one way to think of that. So they are working with containing the essence of you as a personal individual. Okay. So it's like perimeter stuff in a way. Okay, on that note, I'm gonna shift gears and we're gonna hop on into our session. We're gonna work with, as mentioned earlier, transformation of fear in those houses number three and four. And in the chat feature, there was a mention, and I'm gonna tie this in here, that they heard something they love, that the calves are the heart of our lower half. Absolutely, and the calves actually return our blood flow to our heart. So there is an active pumping motion that supports us in returning to our blood to our heart. Without that, very difficult to connect to our have a healthy heart. I'll put it that way. The calves also work with, just an extra piece of information since it's in the air, with self-deprecation. So if we're harding ourselves, if we tend to cut ourselves down or level ourselves off too much or cut our legs out from underneath us, then we may be prone to not just leg issues, but also heart issues. It might be harder to open up our heart fully because we're so used to just cutting our legs out from underneath us versus using our legs to drive us forward, to stand strong into our system. Okay. I could talk about these things all day long. So I'm gonna switch gears into the session. And I'm gonna invite us to connect to your breath and make your way, if you haven't already, to a place where you can either sit or lay for your session. If you're noticing the background, this is in the Saskatoon location. And Danielle Kaners is the artist for this piece. She has multiple prints and lots of beautiful art, and four of her prints she chose to put onto to yoga mats. And this is her gorgeous work. So if you're at all drawn to this sort of yoga mat or work, you can find her, Danielle Kaners. And yeah, she's got some beautiful pieces. As we focus on the breath, as you connect to the breath, as you remember that you have breath, I'm going to invite you to just really mindfully be with the qualities of the inhale and the exhale. So every inhale is an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it, to drink it in. And to really just bathe in it. And on that note, I'm going to invite you to take time to locate something either out there or in here that's pleasant, easeful, or something neutral to be with. Eyes open or closed, feel free to give yourself a little tour through your external, your internal world. And as you tour through all the beautiful, useful, neutral pieces, ultimately letting your gaze land on one thing in particular. And as it lands there, noticing the qualities that you like the most about this thing. And then taking time to savor those things, letting yourself again bathe in those essences of those qualities, of the things that bring you ease, pleasantness, or simply neutrality. As if you, as you savor them, bathe in them, could breathe them inside of you a little bit deeper through the body, notice what happens in terms of how the body responds. And see if you can also savor the pleasant, useful, neutral body responses. Knowing that there might be a wide array of things happening in the body, but see if you can turn your attention specifically to that which feels good to be with. Letting everything else be there as it is. And as you continue to savor all that feels good here, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you for being here as you are. Thank you for the medicine each and every one of you carry. And thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineage, and all that's gone into this sweet moment of connection. The deepest of thank yous to those that have caretaken and stewarded these very lands that we rest upon. And thank you to the earth herself for reminding us what it is to receive nourishment. Thank you to the sky above, bringing us vastness and connection to the beyond. Thank you to the water, connecting us to our emotions and our consciousness. And thank you to the fire, expanding us, offering us a sense of purification, expansion to source, and connection to not just the beyond, the unseen, the beauty, but in a way that's somehow still connected to our bodies, to ourselves, recognizing that we are a part of that too. Thank you. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Okay, to start off with, we're going to unhook a bundle of belief systems that are hanging out in the upper left jaw, and it's connecting into the left cheekbone and into the left inner eye socket through bladder 1 acupuncture point that hangs on that inner corner of the eye and helps us to see the present moment with clarity. And then we're linking that to the back of the left skull where the skull joins the spine. And if this is all could talk, it's actually carrying the consciousness of, I'm going to say, mental rigidity or thought patterns, beliefs, ideas that are overly entrenched and don't have flexibility to see around, to be able to face in a different way. So through this area, we're going to run circulation of lymph, draining out any toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, and releasing through that the subconscious mental holdings to whatever degree they are ready to release, to whatever layers are ready to be reevaluated. And doing this layer by layer, bit by bit, we're actually going to keep this running for the next 5 days. And that's linking into the heart. Consciousness of harmony, of order. And this is not typically a heart thing, but it's bringing in the consciousness of digestion. At the level of spirits. The heart is very much connected to the essence of spirit. And here we're working with the permissions. And the words are simply, the body is a portal, the body is your portal. And like in brackets, into wisdom from the heart's perspective, from spirit's perspective. The body is a portal or your portal into wisdom. At the same time as that, there's this simultaneous thing that's paradoxically present within the head and the face, which is like a turning away and a staring down. So obviously the right and the left head and sides of the face are connected. But it's as if the right side is energetically trying to turn away, and the left side is like staring down, almost in a sense of like, I will stop you in your tracks with my gaze. If you've ever received the look from your mom, or you've ever delivered that look, I used to use it as a lifeguard all the time. I wouldn't have to say anything. I would just like glare at them in a certain way. They'd be like, whoa, and they'd stop, which saved my voice a lot. So it was very handy. I swear that's why we do it with kids too, right? It's like, I'm so tired of saying that. I'm just going to like glare at you because you know I've said the thing. Yeah? And at the same time, there's like this, again, right side of the face turning away. And if both of those are sort of like opposite approaches, in the center, there's a middle road, a middle way. And we're actually going to link that all through to the very midline up, head and face. Now, midline in general works with a sense of trust and surrender. Trust and surrender. And here we're just simply running the permissions. This isn't something that you need to figure out. It's just something that you have to be with. It's not something that you overly need to do anything about. It's just a noticing of it. And noticing that we are sometimes doing somehow both of those things at the same time, turning away from noticing anything and simultaneously, protectively, glaring at something. And as we highlight the midline, there's an unraveling through. Now, this is interesting. Again, we don't usually split the right and the left social engagement nervous systems. In the session a few hours ago, we worked with the right side. So feel free to listen to the recording. And if you haven't already been there live. And then the left side is what we're actually working with now. And it goes into like the eye, the ear, the tongue, the heart, and the nerves that innervate this all. And it's like, how are we socializing? How are we seeing things? How are we hearing things? How are we talking about things? How are we feeling things? And the left side in general is the side of receptivity. So it's more like, how are you receiving being seen, heard, being talked about, being felt? And in the center of all of that, there is a fairly distinct emotionality here of horror, intertwined with shame. The horror carrying fear, and the shame is also intertwined with underlying a sense of like guilt, like you're somehow wrong for being and receiving the attention the way that you are. And there's actually horror around receiving attention. At the same time, the liver gallbladder complex has a story of like, how come nobody ever sees me? And then there's all this protective energy up in the social engagement nervous system that's like horrified at ever being seen. So it's like, we're going to stop that. But the liver gallbladder complex is like, I really would like to be able to quote unquote come out of my shell. If you've ever seen like the Russian dolls where you take like one doll off, there's another doll underneath it, and there's another doll underneath that. The I want to be seen in the liver gallbladder complex, or how come I'm never seen, complaint or hurt or pain, is actually also somehow a layer of protection to what's going on in the spleen and the pancreas, which is the sense of there is no sweetness in life. So underneath this all is the root of it all is a sense of depression around disconnection from others and disconnection from self being the roots of disconnection from others, or the connection, oh my gosh, I'm tripping over my words, being the result of being disconnected from others. So disconnection from self being the result of being disconnected from others. There we go. Underlying that is the belief system. And the phrase is, there's a sense of deservingness around being neglected. It's like, that's the role you're supposed to play. To be a quote-unquote good girl, which will in turn somehow meet your basic survival needs, but it won't necessarily support your emotional needs. But be happy with what you get and don't look for more. And if anybody has ever told you to quote-unquote lower your standards, you're asking for too much. It's tied into this realm. If there's ever a sense of you aren't worth all that, it's tied into this realm. If there's a sense of insecurity, low self-esteem, it's tied into this realm. And then I see the right TMJ, the right jaw pop up, and it says, the belief system it's holding is, quote unquote, I actually can never be enough. Like, there's a sense of actual Not just fear and horror, but like despair that's intertwined. So it's like fear with sadness is how I want to speak to despair in this moment. And if despair was hooked into the right jaw, it's also hooked into all those other pieces that we mentioned, the left side of the social engagement nervous system, the right to the gallbladder complex, the left spleen pancreas complex. And it's also going across through to the left chest, left heart, left chest, left upper back, left arm. For this whole pattern, we're going to run a Sidri. It's actually continuing for the next 17 days. So if I do the math on that, that's until August 24th, which is like the beginning of I almost said Libra. It's the beginning of Virgo season. Okay, so Sidri is going to start with C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication. Lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, that help us to heal at all levels, nervous system and immune system particularly. Then also working with the circulation and the balance of yin, the feminine essence of nourishment, and yang, the masculine essence of protection. Running hydration here as well, helping the cells take in water, enjoy, and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. Okay, followed by D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out all the clutter where it may have seemed like there was none before. Pardon me, I got a bit distracted. I feel like I stumbled over my words. At the same time as we're doing that, the midline is beginning to open up in a way that's also just starting to unhook that sash, but it's also bringing in the conception vessel meridian, which carries nourishments. And as that runs up the midline of the front body, it's safe to open up in your feminine essence. It's safe to open up your feminine essence. There we go. Is the permissions that we need to run here. So while that defrag, and I'll say that one again, is happening, we're going to open up the feminine essence through the midline to whatever degree it feels safe to do so, to whatever degree you feel resourced enough to do so. And that defrag, much like that computer defrag, takes out all the clutter and helps us to begin to reorganize things so that the stuff that we don't need, we can set aside, and what needs to be there can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, and reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Think of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And then I'm just seeing horses, not necessarily like in a full gallop, but like they're walking. I don't know horse words very well, forgive me. They're like at a, I think it's a trot, not a canter. And I can just see like their hoof beats. And it's like this steady rhythm. And it's tying into that time in life where we likely would have traveled by horse. and the natural regulation that our nervous system would have received from, well, being out in nature, as well as being connected to another living being that had that very steady rhythmic presence that began to almost repattern any shortcomings that you would have received in early life. And there's this deepening into the nourishment that your ancestors at a certain stage had that connection to that time frame. And that wisdom is still present in your body today. So we're linking that through to both the heart and the kidneys to draw on that ancestral piece of wisdom to support regulation through connection. Okay, really interesting. And then I'm seeing a horse, but with, oh, it's Pegasus. Pegasus. I'm not certain, in all honesty, about the myth of Pegasus. I know that there is one. I believe it ties into like the ending in a victorious way, like if there's some sort of a mythical creature, god, something, goddess maybe, I think god, that like flees, not flees, but like ends on the other side of a battle and is victorious and now has like this is its like escape hatch, so to speak. But it, not that it's driven, I keep using words that are fear driven, but it's like on the other side of the fear. It's like the fear has been conquered. And now we get to celebrate. We get to fly freely away. As I say that, I can see like the eyebrows morphing into the Pegasus wings. And there's a sense of it being like unrestrained and wild and untamed and not bound by the earth, but getting to play with the freeness, the liberation that's present in the in I know it's in form, but it's like the freeness that comes without form, that which is found in spirit or soul. It helps to like fly above anything that's too heavily weighted or too deeply earthed into the system. So it's finding a balance of lightening things up. And in a way, creating a sense of speed or of swiftness, along with spiritual power and not quite protection, but grace. And it's playful, like, because it's not really of this world. It's in the unseen realm. It's elusive, and it's not something to be ever to be tamed. Okay, interesting. It's being defined by the consciousness of pure heart, light spirits. And it's linking into the back of the neck. I don't think I mentioned this earlier. The stomach and the spleen meridians govern the neck. The back of the neck is also connected to your autonomy, your sense of I can choose something different for myself. Then I see, and we kind of worked with this earlier as well today, with a sense of the higher self of your ancestors and that being able to be received as the prayer that they would have wanted something better for you. Than what they were trapped within. They would have wanted the lightness, the freedom, the liberation. They would have wanted you to soar in ways they never got to. Even if they were, kind of curmudgeon-y and even created abuse and trauma within the family lines, their higher self carried a purer essence of a lighter heart capacity to hold that with clarity. for linking you into that piece of the innate essence of grace within the ancestral lines. Not, it's like beyond the conditioning, beyond the trappings of the mind. And I just literally see the base of the skull ever so slightly be elevated, not pressed down on the top of the spine. And in doing so, it's like there's room for the brain stem to lift back up into a natural position again, almost like it was getting weighed down, like the skull and the head and the weight of the world that this can often be pertained to. And I'm indicating like the entire the head, and it's often thought to be like the burden of the world. It's resting upon one's shoulders, in this case, top of spine, and it's crunching the brain stem. So we're just literally lifting it, elevating it. A bit esoteric today. Defined by cosmic consciousness, or I guess this or this session, earlier session, less esoteric, but this one, as we bring in cosmic consciousness, it's linking not surprisingly into house number 12, which is the house of where you get to be in your own individual, clear and free of any conditioned thoughts, ideas, ways of being through not just family, but culture, society, worlds. House number 12 also works with, I want to say, like releasing the old ideas of who you thought you had to craft as your mask to stay safe. There's a surrendering of one of those masks that got placed there, one of the archetypal roles, one of the ways that you thought you had to carry an identity in order to project yourself into the world with. The thing is, and there isn't one specific one that it's highlighting, so my sense is that it's going to vary from person to person, and it's really yours to locate for yourself. It's not me to highlight it. So whatever that mask was carrying, whatever that role that you played, whatever that archetypal energy is connected for you as it gets set down, the lightness of spirit lifts also through the heart energy field. Because that mask covers not just the face, but the whole body, including the heart. And it also covers up the wisdom, the natural, innate, organic intelligence that is the genius of your living system, of life force energy. And it's like allowing life to shine through you versus trying to control it or dictate it and say, I want life to do this for me. And it's instead surrendering into the openness of riding the wave of life that's coming next and not needing to govern it in a certain way. Okay, cool. We're going to tap this out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive. Okay, just giving that two, three rounds of breath, letting that part settle. Okay, the next part is beginning with a very bold permission statement. One that I really love. The words here are, I am the miracle of life. I am the miracle of life. I see that as not needing to control life, not needing to do anything to sustain life, not needing to micromanage it, but just simply surrendering, allowing life to flow through you. Not in a way that you need to, like, then teach others that we're all the miracle of life, but in a way that lets you, again, just rest easy. Now we're linking that to both stomach and spleen meridians to support taking that into both the conscious and subconscious minds. And then it highlights a little bit of, just an edge of it, a primal terror, the terror of existing, primal fear, pardon me, the terror of existence. It's actually tied into a piece of birth trauma. When the rem membranes ruptured, and when there felt like a complete severing between you and all that you'd ever known that was familiar, that you had really just gotten used to by developing in the womb for 9.5 months. It's like that got taken away. It's like the rug got pulled out from underneath you in a profound way. In a way that said, like, I've cultivated everything to this point, and now I'm risking it all. It looked like facing death. It looks like a sense of having to surrender at a level that was a first, and simultaneously terrifying, in part because of how the environment was around you. And there was fear in mom's system, not being able to trust that this was something that was birthing through her, and fear in the various different environmental supports around mom. And this is true, even if you were born in like the most kumbaya situations, there is still just a little bit of natural instinctual fear that goes hand in hand with every birth process there is. Most birth processes these days are more medicalized. They're even more geared towards different belief systems and ideas, which stem often from places of information fueled by fear. And as we do this, we're also releasing. Interesting. It's a type of anxiety that's almost borderline apathy. Like it's anxiety to the point where it's like, I'm so tired of this anxiety. I'm almost ready to give up on it because I actually don't even know what this means or is, and it's just been this way all the time, and I give up on even trying to do anything about it. So it's anxiety that's almost turned into apathy. And if that emotion could speak, it would say something along the lines of, like, I've tried, I've given you everything that I can here, and now this is happening. Now my entire world is being lost. Now I'm dissolving entirely into nothingness. Huh. Seems like a ripoff. We're releasing that through that left side of the social engagement nervous system, ear, eye, tongue, and heart. And then I just see as a resource coming in the rites of passage that we go through later on in life, which help us to go through painful events on purpose to help us to feel more mature on the other side of it. It's just that our modern day world and culture hasn't held that point of view around birth for a long time. But birth is like, in a way of thinking, the OG rite of passage. Birth is the time where it all begins. It's a time where it all is being founded. And there's this sense later on in adult life of not having the same rite of passage, not being able to do something hard on purpose to gain a sense of maturity and growth and like, I've got this, I earned this. And instead of being treated like a almost like a fearful thing, like don't do too much. Don't, it might be kind of hard to do that. Don't tax yourself. And at the root of that, an insecurity within being begins to fester. An insecurity with your capacity to just be prosperous. And a sense of feeling unsettled, agitated, anxious in a way that you can't even put your finger on it. So it's just chronically there. So for this, we're running a cellular repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. And finding a sense of restoration of resiliency and capacity alike. Linking that to the TMJ, the jaw joints, and the sacroiliac joints to support digestion. And then linking that to the lateral perimeter of the body with a permission statement of, I am here. I am here. I am here. I just keep hearing the song by Pink, I Am Here. It's got some swear words in it, and I think it's one of like the best songs that are speaking to the essence of what I'm feeling here in the consciousness state. So feel free to give it a go. If it calls to you later on, you can find it on YouTube or Spotify or anywhere you listen to music. And it's linking into the back of the skull, and I can see almost like the phoenix feather, like the phoenix that rises from the ashes, but it's like the tail feather. It begins to have like a plume, and it begins to spark alive, like, I made it through that birth, which means I can make it through these other things too. I can do hard things without it compromising my sense of safety. I can do hard things without it challenging me and shaking me to my core in the ways that it has been before. I can do hard things with a sense of confidence as I rest in being the miracle of life. Cool. We're gonna tap this out here. Invitation to breathe. Invitation to receive. Giving that a slow, deep breath. I've got a song. It's 2 minutes long by Red Thread, Olivia Fern. If it calls to you, I'm going to invite you to find that resource that you located earlier and just bring that in to be with that. If you feel like you need a little extra support, if you feel like you're good right where you are, feel free to just receive here. Thank you, everyone, for the opportunity to gather here today, and thank you for being here exactly as you are with all the medicine that you carry within you. Our group is richer for it. Thank you. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Blessings on the rest of your day and your week ahead. Thank you for letting me know about the music. There was a short gap there when I realized the quality of sharing wasn't quite where I needed it to be. So thank you for letting me know that. And if anyone needs any extra support afterwards, feel free to let me know. Hey, y'all. Mwah. Blessings on your continued evolution. Bye for now, y'all.